Today's episode of Gluck Radio is proudly brought to you by Audible.com. Audible.com is the premier provider of digital audiobooks, offering titles in every genre. Now, I want you to go and get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/gluckradio. There are over 150,000 titles to choose from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. If you're a fan of this show, you might like to download American Savage by my fellow podcaster and sex advice columnist, Dan Savage. Or how about Crush It? Why now is the time to cash in on your passion by Gary Vaynerchuk. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/gluckradio. Again, that's audibletrial.com/gluckradio. Welcome to Gluck Radio. I am Dr. Errol Gluck, executive life coach and master problem solver. What happens if you know you're a great guy, but you can't make that leap into approaching and dating women? If shyness is stopping you from being the best man you could be, this week's guest, Christopher Gray, is here to help. Author of the guidebook, From Shy to Social, Christopher has gone from the shy guy whose anxiety and low self-esteem got the better of him to a man who routinely gets numbers and dates from many different women. How did he do it? Also with us is our sometimes co-host, Mark Darien. He's a men's dating expert and psychologist and creator of the blog AnimusEmpire.com. Mark wrote an ebook on how men can overcome their feelings of shame and anxiety. It's available on AnimusEmpire.com. This week, you'll be in good hands. Gentlemen, welcome.
Well, thanks very much.
It's always good to have people on the shows that share a problem that literally the majority of men in this country and in many countries actually have. So tell me, what was your secret from going from shy to being able to be this great pickup artist?
Well, I wouldn't say that I'm a great pickup artist. I would say that I went from being shy and very unsuccessful with women to having what might be termed a normal dating life. I'm comfortable approaching women. I'm comfortable dating women now, whereas, let's say, about a decade ago, I was a horrible stammering mess when it came to asking women out.
So you need to tell me your secret. What was it? Why were you a hammer stammering mess? Was it your childhood? What was the story?
Sure, it's basically.
And I promise I won't charge you for this. This is all free. So good.
All right. Yeah, I'll give you my life story. I was basically, I would say, born with social anxiety. I think there's a shyness gene. I don't think there's any traumatic event that made me shy, but I think that some people are just simply.
There have been genes linked to neuroticism. And that's kind of coming out.
And, you know, I managed to muddle through school and have a decent number of friends. But when it came to, you know, public speaking or engaging with women, I would just shut down.
Were you decent with men? Were you good talking to guys?
I was pretty good at talking to guys, yeah.
Okay, so the shyness was limited to women.
It was, well, I had an extreme fear of public speaking and groups, although I was great with guys one-on-one, you know, with friends and relatives and so on. My greatest fear was talking to women. And I realized at one point that I was just having such a terrible time. People would say to me, well, you'll grow out of it, you'll get better. But I was into my 30s, and I was having the same problems. And I figured, you know, I've got to do something here to, you know, tackle this problem. So I started reading. I started going to dating coaches, getting advice, etiquette experts, and just doing a lot of research and a lot of trial and error to come up with a solution.
And the first thing, by the way, I want to address, you know, to our audience, is that problems don't go away, they get worse. Because lies beget lies. If you have a particular problem, even like shyness, the earlier you tackle it, the earlier it goes. Because actually, the fearness, the issue is not shyness, the issue is the terror of rejection and the feeling of rejection. And the way the brain works is that we actually respond simply by gravitating towards pleasure and away from fear. And you were dreadfully afraid. We use the word shy, but it really was the fear of rejection, wasn't it?
I agree with that completely, and it's a vicious circle. The more you're afraid, the less you approach people, because you are constantly afraid of rejection. So I realized this problem was not going to go away on its own, so I did have to, you know, seek help elsewhere with professionals and talking to them and finding out exactly what the problem was and trying to get a handle on it and fix it, although it was a long process, but it ended up turning out okay, and I've had several relationships, and I'm still to this day able to approach women without fear.
Well, that's great. Let me ask you one question. The different people who you saw for therapy, what were their problems? How come you went to different ones? Why couldn't the first, second, or third one fix you? Were they shy?
Because a lot of therapists have social anxiety, so they don't know what you're talking about.
There you go.
Like, of course you're afraid of talking to women. We all are, right?
Exactly.
That's how 90% of therapists are. Yeah.
With regard to acting and public speaking and improv, which got me used to talking to people in groups. And the fact that you're acting, there's a little bit of a shield there because it's not really you. You're acting as a character, and that allows a lot of shy people to get up on stage and perform, rather than getting up there and making a presentation where you're yourself, where you might actually stumble and stammer.
Yeah, I think that's why improv is so good for stuff like this.
So let me ask you a question. What have you learned about women in this process? I mean, did you realize that women are equally as shy and fearful of rejection too? They just express it differently?
Well, shy women don't have the same problems as shy guys because it's all, even in this day and age, it's expected that the guy is the one to approach the women to show interest. Women show interest in different ways, of course, by sending subtle hints and little conversations and so forth. But in general, they're not the ones that are expected to ask the person out. So I believe the stakes are higher for guys, especially if you're shy. One other thing I learned about women, a lot of shy guys, they tend to blame society for not giving shy guys a break, and they blame women for not giving shy guys a break. This is a false premise. It's really self-defeating. You can't really blame society. You can't blame women. It's the same with job interviews. If you go into a job interview and you're shy and you're stumbling and you're stammering, you know, you're not going to get the job. And it's not the job interviewer's fault. They can't be expected to give you two or three cracks at it to see if you improve. You have to improve yourself. You have to have a positive attitude. You have to realize that it's not society. It's not women. It's you that has to come out of your shell.
Very mature.
Yeah, I mean, shyness is a signal. It's a signal that tells people I'm not okay with myself. And they can just, all they do is they just take that rule of thumb and say, well, there must be something wrong with this guy besides his shyness, that his shyness is signaling.
I agree with that. Also, I think, by the way, that shyness is an identity disorder, because when you're shy, people driving Rolls Royces aren't shy. The belief in shyness is that there's something inherently inferior about you. Now, I'm talking to you just for a few minutes, and you sound like a really bright, very thought out guy. So the process, there must have been a lot of self-talk. If you were walking into a bar now alone, and there's a lot of very attractive women, what would you do now?
Well, I'm pretty good at approaching women. I like to approach women in bookstores and coffee shops rather than bars. I mean, bars, I'm not really into them anymore. But on occasion when I do go with friends, let's say, to celebrate someone's birthday or whatever, I will disengage from my friends for a while to go up to the bar, grab a drink. And if I see a woman there with her friends, I will say, hi, how are you doing? And how do you guys know each other? And engage in conversation that way. And if the conversation flows, then great. You know, I'll keep talking and see if one of them is interested.
And what's the bookstore and Starbucks look like?
Well, I like the bookstores because as opposed to bars, you know, bars, women sometimes are there just to have a little bit of fun with their friends, and they're not really interested in having and finding someone for a relationship. Whereas I've had better success in bookstores, stores, and Starbucks, because, well, first of all, you only approach women who don't have a ring on, obviously, so you're looking for single women. But secondly, you can find women that are perhaps more appealing to you rather than at a bar where, you know, people have this front on, and you'd rather find someone who's, let's say, a grad student or someone who looks like a professional who is similar to your demographic.
Yeah, I also think that it's more rare for guys to approach in bookstores and coffee shops. So when you do it, the girl may overlook some other glaring faults that you have, like your ugliness or something.
Because they're simply more open, more intellectual, so what happens is when you're approaching. But I'm curious to what your approach would be in a bookstore. Do you hand a card and say, this is who I am, and I just found you, you know, to be somewhat interesting or attractive, or I noticed you didn't have a ring on your finger? What do you say to them?
No, I generally take note of what they are interested in as far as the books, and if there's a really funky book cover nearby, or for instance, I'll give you an example. I mentioned this in the book. I was in the card section of a bookstore looking for a card for Mother's Day, and I noticed one card that had a holographic print of a kitten on it, and if you tilted the card a certain way, the kitten had this really funny expression on its face. And it made me chuckle as I did it. And there was a woman standing nearby who I noticed earlier, and she was quite attractive. And I just said, hey, look at this. And I tilted the card in front of her face, and she smiled. And I said, wow, isn't that great? I think I'm going to get this for my mom. And the conversation just flowed from there. So it's really just taking something from the surroundings or remarking on her appearance, you know, maybe like her boots are terrific, or she's got a terrific hat on. You might want.
So Chris, do you close the deal when you say flow from there? Do you ask for their phone number?
Yeah, a segue from the card into something like, oh, what are you doing here? Are you looking for a card for Mother's Day as well? And, you know, just talk about different things and what they're doing that day. And again, if the conversation flows, you can say, listen, I really enjoyed this conversation. I'd love to get your email or your phone number, and we can go for a coffee sometime. And the success rate it varies, of course. A lot of the women who don't have a ring still might be seeing someone or otherwise unavailable. But it's worth taking the shot, and I did get a long-term relationship from approaching someone in a bookstore.
Are you in a long-term relationship?
Not at the moment. The woman that I approached in the bookstore, we went out for about a year and a half, and it ended a few months ago, but we're still in contact and we're still friends.
So what's plan B? And by the way, how was the breakup for you? I mean, how did it affect you?
Well, I think this particular breakup was amicable. It was fairly easy because... It's interesting. I had been her first date in 10 years. She had broken up with her husband a decade before. And in this interaction in the bookstop, she was the nervous one. She was quite attractive and personable, but I could tell that she was not used to being approached. And I found out later that I was the first guy she'd gone out with in 10 years. And
wow.
It was quite a
that
new
makes
experience
it nice.
For her. But things were great for about a year and a half, and well, you know how things sometimes peter out, and we both found new interests, and we realized that we weren't destined to be together forever. So, but again, we're still friends.
Peter, shyness could be one of the most painful and agonizing personality traits that a person could possibly have, simply because it causes a person to go within, to isolate, and then to ruminate and to, you know, create all these ideas in themselves about why they're shy, and to blame others. As you pointed out, it's no one's fault but one's own. As Mark said, there's probably a genetic component, but still we should try to overcome it. Were your parents, what were your parents like? Were they shy?
No, it's interesting. My parents are both outgoing individuals. My dad is in the insurance industry, and he's used to talking with clients and talking at seminars and so forth. My mom is was mostly a stay-at-home mom, although she worked for a few years, and she was quite outgoing as well. But my grandfather on my mom's side was quite shy, and I believe I might have inherited it from him, because I do believe, despite my parents not being shy, it's still a genetic component. And I have two brothers who are not nearly as shy as I am either. So, and you're right, when you said earlier about it being a very debilitating condition, it can stop your promotions at work, it can stop you from engaging outside of work with people and having hobbies, and it's a very lonely condition.
What have you done since you broke out with her? You back at the bookstores?
Yes, I am. I went to the coffee shop. About 2 weeks ago, and talked to someone there, to a woman there, and ended up going on a date, and it went well, and we're probably going to see each other again.
Yeah, talking to girls is fun. It's like the modern male's equivalent of hunting. Like, that's how we can get excitement. We don't have to hunt for buffalo in the savannah anymore, but we can go hunt for women in the bookstore. That's how I think of it.
Do you have a particular line that you use, or do you give a card and just announce who you are? I find that by breaking anonymity and telling a person, well, this is who I am. I'm not, you know, some crazy guy, and I just, you know, it helps kind of create more of a flow of conversation, because now they know you're a real person. Do you ever use a card?
No, I never use a card, but usually I use what's called an indirect opener, where, as I mentioned before, where I'll make an observation about either something nearby or about herself, about you know, what she's wearing. But on occasion, especially if I see a woman on the street whom I'm really enamored with, I'll just turn around and say, listen, do you have any idea how good you look? And I've had some fair success with that. Women are really taken aback by that. They really, and I'm genuine about it too. I wouldn't say that to a woman if I didn't feel that way. So there's a genuineness that comes across in what I'm saying. And I find that most women are quite receptive to an approach, whether it be indirect, like I mentioned, in the coffee shop or bookstore, or direct, as I mentioned.
Yeah, I think for nervous guys, going direct like you do to a woman on the street, that's a better workout to attack the anxiety. Because I think a lot of guys can saddle up to a girl and ask them about a book at a bookstore, but it really affects them when they go right for, you are beautiful, I want to talk to you. And it really gets them to overcome their anxiety better.
Yeah, and it really, it comes down to practice and becoming comfortable with the whole concept. If you start out slow, if you start out just by making small talk without the idea of having to get their number or get their email, without the idea of saying, oh, this must be my girlfriend, she's the one for me. If you just approach casually and say, listen, I really like that jacket you're wearing, it really matches your eyes, or something like that.
Unless the jacket is purple.
Yeah, unless the jacket's purple. Or
well, it can still go well with green eyes.
Exactly. So let me ask you a question. You tell a woman, my God, you know, do you know how good you look? And she turns around and she says, of course I do. Then what's your next line?
Well, I might just say, Where are you headed in such a hurry? Maybe we can grab a coffee. Or sometimes that's a little bit too quick, but I might just try and segue into something else. Like, I'm just downtown here. I don't get into this area very often, but I'm glad I did today because I ran into you. And I'd love to chat with you if you have time. There's many, many other ways of doing it, but really it just takes practice and you have to do what works for you.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what the next line is so much. Like, I'm sure there's a guy who's shy who's listening to this right now thinking, oh, you just flow the conversation into getting the phone number. How does that work? But I think when you go out and you really work on the anxiety and get rid of that, what you say doesn't matter so much. That's and you can true. Say stupid and things, and that still doesn't matter as long as you're comfortable with it, which you will be if you just work on this for a while.
That's correct. Yeah, that's absolutely right. I agree with that. As long as you are confident and you have good body language and good tonality, if you come across meekly, even if you have a line like, wow, you look really good, if you have slumped shoulders and you're withdrawn, the line is just not coming across as sincere, and the woman might say, oh, thank you very much, and then move along. But if you stand up straight, you maintain good eye contact, have a bit of a smile, and are very resolute in your delivery, then she'll be taken aback and very impressed by it.
Do you find that humor works? Going up to a girl and saying, you know, I just got new contacts and I realize you really are good looking?
Oh, well, humor can work too, for sure. You run the risk of, I find though that if you rely too much on humor, you can appear like a bit of a clown. And you know, there's always that as well. But if you have one humorous line, that's always great.
Plus, you don't really need humor so much. It's nice if you can throw it in, but...
Yeah.
Ultimately, girls are attracted to confidence. Humor is nice, maybe, but that's what girls respond to the most.
And I would completely agree with you, Mark, that girls respond to people who believe in themselves. So this is my question. Confidence is always, by the way, in my practice, when I speak to women who I coach or do hypnosis on, we'll always say that is the sexiest thing in a man is a man who actually knows who he is and believes in himself. How did you take those steps outside of talking and seeing people? What was the self-talk like? What did you say to yourself? Because all rejection, I want everyone to really hear this, all rejection is self-rejection. You can't be rejected. You have to reject yourself. You have to believe when someone says something. You know, so what did you change in your mind? You know, because that's what I normally do when I do hypnosis. I take a shy person, I change the voice in their head so they begin to believe in themselves quite quickly. What did you do?
Yeah, I think I'm just going to backtrack slightly. There's one of the biggest problems with a guy who has social anxiety is a feeling of low self-esteem and low self-worth, which obviously leads to the lack of confidence. Now, the more I did research was I went onto some shyness sites and found that a lot of guys just were in the same boat. They felt terrible. They felt ugly. They felt like they had no attractiveness potential to women. And, you know, but you can see this wherever you go. I mean, everyone has social anxiety to some extent. Someone has, you know, might be deathly afraid of losing their wife to another man. So where the confidence comes from partly is realizing that almost everyone else on the planet, or basically everyone else on the planet, has self-doubt. And the key is to believe in yourself. One woman said to me at one point, how can you expect others to love you if you don't love yourself? So you need to stop being so hard on yourself. Stop with the self-recrimination. Stop saying, I'm no good at this, I'm no good at that, and no woman will find me attractive. You need to force yourself to think positively and punish yourself if you think negatively. Reward yourself for being outgoing and practicing.
Punish yourself if you think negatively, or just reinforce of thinking positive?
Well, reinforce the thinking of positively, and if you don't think positively, let's say, don't watch TV don't watch your favorite TV show that evening. It's a good motivator if you can reward yourself for good positive behavior.
I think what influences positive thinking the most is taking actions that you know you need to take. It's really easy to be positive when in the morning you say, okay, my goal is to approach 3 girls today. And then you do it, and then you're at home 8 p.m. at night. It's really easy to think positively. Like I've said this in an article before, your body changes how you think. How you act changes how you think. And I think that's really important. Like even if you feel really shy or feel like shit, as long as you're out and your feet are moving and your mouth is moving, then it's going to contribute to you feeling better.
That's why going to the gym is so important.
Yeah, totally. It's so easy to talk to girls as you're coming out of the gym. Like as you walk into the gym, it always boggles my mind how easy and effortless it is. Because I go to the grocery store when I'm walking home from the gym and I'm just like, I'm talking to everybody. Because
yeah. Adrenals are up, your testosterone is up, you're really going
to the gym is great.
So let me ask you a question. Are you a good-looking guy?
I'm okay looking.
He's pretty good looking, and there's a picture of him on the back of the book.
I want to know what he thought of himself. I saw his picture.
Oh, okay.
I'd say, well, my own impression of myself is that I look somewhat better in person than I do in photographs, so I don't rely, that's one reason I don't rely on online dating, because I'm having trouble finding a photograph of myself where women actually respond to it. So I rely mostly on outside approaches.
They have, by the way, these. Apple has a new icon. You take a picture, and underneath the picture, it says, "I look better in person."
Yeah, I should give that a try. Yeah.
I'm only making that up, by the way, just so you know.
Yeah.
No, so have you done online dating, by the way?
Yes, and I've had success there too. I had a 2-year relationship from a woman who approached me online, one of the dating sites, and so that was great. That was going back a while now, about 10 years. But after that relationship ended after 2 years, I realized I was having continued problems getting a new relationship. So that's when I went back into the self-improvement, as I described earlier.
Yeah, I mean, you can get a date online, but it isn't really until you figure out yourself and your anxiety that the woman really start coming.
Yeah, no, confidence is the key. Right now, we're in between, correct? And
yes.
Do you have a particular, meaning, how important is being with another person? Do you enjoy your own company? Do you have a good sense of self? Do you have friends? I mean, tell me a little bit more about you personally.
I do. I enjoy my own company, and I do have friends, although most of my friends are from university that I've kept in contact with. I still keep in contact with a couple of people I met in acting class, and go out occasionally. I go to a writer's group and interact that way. So yeah, basically, I guess I would judge my own social life as about average.
Do you want to get married?
I'd like to get married. Yeah.
Now, how would you know when for you it would be right to marry someone? Like, what would you need to feel?
I think I need to feel that euphoria whenever I was with the person. I almost got married a decade ago with the woman I met online. I ended up going through an illness. I had an ulcer that was undiagnosed, and I was in constant pain, and it really affected our relationship, and we ended up breaking up, unfortunately. So if that didn't happen, it's possible I might have been married today.
Okay, so you mentioned euphoria. Okay, now the truth of the matter is you can't commit suicide jumping out of a basement. You got to be on a high floor. So normally when people fall in love, they tend to also have a lot of conflict, too. They fight a lot because passion, you know, passion creates conflict. Are you a good person? Are you good at having some conflict and still being okay about it?
That's something I could always improve. I like to think of myself as someone who is good at solving conflict, but it doesn't always happen when you're a couple. There's miscommunication. There's one woman I was dating who her first language is not English, and we had some communication difficulties, and unfortunately we ended up breaking up after a few months. And ever since then, I've been kind of kicking myself because I went over some of the issues we had, and I realized after the fact that, you know, some of these issues were kind of petty, and I really should have been better, and both of us should have been better at talking things out and solving the problem. So, you know, to answer your question, yeah, that's one area where I could improve is conflict resolution within the relationship.
Sometimes it's good to create conflict, I think, to really get at issues in a relationship.
Well, what you have to do, Mark, is be yourself.
Be honest. And being honest creates a lot of conflict in itself, yeah.
It doesn't take much to create conflict, just...
Like, I have this great story of when I went shopping with this girl I was dating, and she wanted to try this coat on. And so in order to do that, she handed me her purse. And so I dropped the purse, which created this huge conflict for like the next 24 hours. But it wasn't until I did that that we really started to talk and we really took the relationship to a deeper understanding. I mean, the moment it seemed bad, like I was being a total asshole, but ultimately it was good for the relationship.
See, what she told me is that you took the Visa card out of the purse, went shopping, and met her back at the store.
Yeah, right. I may do something like that, except I hate shopping.
So let me ask you a question. Do you find yourself conforming to these women or just being yourself? Do they get the upper hand because you're shy?
I find that being myself actually reinforces the relationship. If you're a shy guy, or if you're kowtowing to a woman all the time, always agreeable, you're no longer a challenge to her. You don't appear to be a man of confidence. So it's best to let your own personality come through within reason, of course. You don't want to be a selfish jerk. You want to, but you want to have the ability to make decisions and lead the relationship on occasion, and just, you know, be yourself without kowtowing.
Did you have a hard time bringing it from communication to actually having sex with, how did you go from just going out and dating to making it sexual? What was your method of doing that?
Well, early on, when I was doing a lot of internet dating, I had a few one-night stands. Some women, especially older women, for some reason would be drawn to me, drawn to my profile or my photograph. In terms of going and getting, you just have to read the woman. A lot of women like to have sex right away. Others don't. You just have to, you know, read the signals and hear what she's saying. It comes down to even the first kiss. You know, some women enjoy kissing on the first date. Others do not. It's something that you have to respect. And later on, as you continue to date, then you can escalate.
I would say the biggest mistake that guys make when getting physical with girls is, I mean, this may sound stupid, but they're always so far away from the girl on the date. And it seems like a weird thing, but I think if you're just a little bit closer, like within 2 feet, your faces are within 2 feet of each other. I just think everything flows much easier from there. Like, it's easier to kiss them. It's easier to hold their hand. If you're like sitting back, it creates this whole friendly, casual vibe, which you don't want to go for.
Yeah, if you're in an intimate area, a little bit of touching could go a long way. Touch on the upper arm, even a touch on the back of her neck if you're sitting close on the couch and you've been out once or twice. Those little intimate touches can go a long way to building rapport and attraction.
I always like the old-fashioned, just take her hand and put it in your arm, like link arms with her, do that thing.
Yeah,
I mean, it's stupid, but just little stuff like that goes a long way.
What are some of the no-nos that you would give shy guys? Like, what would you tell them not to do in order to not destroy the possibility of them getting a second date or even a first?
It's important to have good body language. You have to stop fidgeting, have dirty eyes, and not making eye contact. I'd recommend recording yourself, a video of talking and eating and seeing whether or not you have these wild hand gestures that you need to get under control, whether you bounce your knee up and down all the time out of nervousness, whether you speak too quickly or too low, or if you raise your tonality at the end of a sentence as if you're asking a question. All these little bad habits can be addressed if you just videotape yourself and examine what you're doing.
Or if you can't do that, at least record yourself. Just record your voice. You can pick up a lot from that.
That's true.
Yeah, that definitely helps. Record everything, I say. Record yourself in a job interview, when you're giving a speech in public. You learn so much about yourself. And I think a lot of guys, to go from the first date to the second date, and this is pretty much universal, you need to go on a lot of first dates, and you need to mess up a lot. And you need to get to the point where you go, what the hell am I doing wrong? I know I went through a period like this years ago, and then something clicked, and it was much easier after that. They didn't all go to a second date or third date, but
I agree. And listen, there is no substitute for experience. Experience creates comfort. Experience becomes, all of a sudden you realize that, you know, she's nervous too. And it's all about trial and error. And a lot of it is just luck and statistics.
That's right. I went on a lot of first dates that went nowhere before I finally got a handle on, stop being nervous and getting a handle on my body language and getting control of my nerves. And then once that started happening, I started getting the second dates and the third dates.
Chris, I give you a lot of confidence. I mean, you really push through. People who are listening to this should realize that you will be a winner if you simply follow your advice. I love the fact that you wrote this book. It's actually, it's going to be a really good bestseller.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I wrote it because there are a lot of books out there on shyness, but very, very few, if any, from the perspective of a very, very shy person who actually made some progress and was able to have a normal day.
Now, do you still consider yourself shy?
I consider myself to be reserved. I have no problem with public speaking. I have no problem with approaching women, but I'll never be the guy who, is the life of the party. It's simply not me. But when I do go to a party, I have no problem with interacting with people and talking and chatting and having good conversations.
When do you see yourself, if it's possible? I mean, you're how old right now?
I'm 49 right now.
Where do you see the next few years taking you? And at what age at this point would you like to be married by?
Oh, well, let me just backtrack a bit because, as I say, I almost got married 10 years ago, and that would have been probably the ideal age to get married. But at this point, whether I get married or not, it doesn't bother me too much. But if I had my choice, sure, I'd love to get married. Next year or the year after. Some people are late bloomers. I'm one of those people. But I can tell you, if I had not taken matters in my own hands, I wouldn't even be dating at this point, much less talking about marriage with somebody. So,
do you find that the shyness is different at work than it is when you're with a woman? Like, are there places where the shyness doesn't even become an issue for you?
No, I think shyness can affect you wherever you are. As I mentioned, it can affect your job performance. You might be overlooked for promotions. People might not view you as a go-getter at work if you're not participating in meetings and putting forth your ideas. So shyness, I think, is a universal problem for most people, although, as I mentioned earlier, with the shy optimist, that's a guy who can function normally in all areas except for when it comes to women that he's attracted to.
Yeah, it's also good. I mean, when you talk about shyness at work, it's one of those things where if you handle your shyness with women, the confidence that you get from that will definitely spill over into work. Like, it's going to be much easier for you to get a promotion if you had sex with three different women the previous week. Let's be honest. You're probably not going to get fired.
Particularly if they all were your bosses.
Well, then you'll definitely get promoted. Yeah. then it's a shoo-in.
Yeah. I would say this, and this is, it's out self-promoting, but hypnosis is probably the most effective way of getting over shyness extremely quickly. Because at the end of the day, so much of shyness is this continual negative self-talk. And getting yourself not to watch your favorite program may take a little bit too long. It'll be off the air by the time you're actually getting the point. But you need to change the way you think, and apparently, you have in many ways. I give you a lot of kudos for that.
Thanks. And well, the key is a lot of shy guys take these very, very small steps and think that they're doing something about it. And reality is they're not getting out of their comfort zone. You have to get out of your comfort zone and actually do something. I have a friend who was in the same boat as me, and he simply just hasn't made much progress. And whenever I prod him a little bit, he gets angry. He doesn't want to believe that he's not doing anything to fix his problem, I guess. It's unfortunate, but a lot of guys continue to just sort of stay in one spot and spin their wheels without making any progress. And you have to really get out there and challenge yourself, actually talk to women rather than think about talking to women.
And great. You know what? I'm going to end on that note because that is really what it's all about. Don't think about what you're going to do. Do what you're going to do. One last question. I'm curious. How did you run the economics of dating? Did you always offer to pay?
Well, if you're the person who asks the other person out, then, yeah, you're the one that pays. You shouldn't be paying all the time because that can be insulting to women. Women, you know, most women are working. They have careers just like you do. If you're always saying, oh, let me pay, that eventually can be insulting to a woman. So a good rule of thumb here is to whoever asks the person out.
I want you to make a list of those women who it's insulting to and just forward it to me because that would be excellent. And
Well,
I can use a free meal every once in a while. I don't know. I don't know about you.
If you're to pay like 10 times in a row, then they might get insulted, but they wouldn't be insulted if you pay three.
You haven't dated many Jewish women, I'm sure.
I think there's a lot of debate on whether men or women should pay. I think all that really matters is, as a man, you have your thing that you do. Some guys say, for our first date, I'm coming over to your apartment and you're going to cook for me and then you're going to clean up the dishes. I've known guys who do that. That's just what they do. As long as you have your thing that you do, whether you pay or you have the woman pay, that's all that matters.
Christopher, thank you so much for your show. Thank you so much for your book. Thank you for your growth and your honesty and your self-discovery. I just wish you the best success, and I hope you find someone who makes you happy because you sound like a really great guy.
Well, thanks very much for having me. I really enjoyed the conversation, and I wish you good luck with your show.
Thank you. I want to once again thank Christopher Gray and Mark Darien for coming on to our show. Pick up a copy of Christopher's book, From Shy to Social, The Shy Man's Guide to Personal and Dating Success. It's on Amazon. And also check out Mark's blog, animusempire.com, and pick up a copy of his book, his ebook, Man's Guide to Shame. So, Mark, what was your take? Do you think this guy was still shy? He's 49, not married?
Yeah, well, I think it doesn't matter where he is, it's where he's come from. And it seems like he came from a really low place. And that's why I think it's good to listen to guys like that. Like, I don't want to take dating advice from a guy who lost his virginity when he was 14. Like, no. I want the guy who was like lost his virginity when he was 26, and now that he's 36, he has an electrifying dating life. That's the guy who knows stuff.
You know what? It's a good point. I will say this. I found them very pleasant, extremely honest, you know, and I think that there is a lot of women, unfortunately, who are only attracted to the bad boys. Now, he's not a bad boy. And I think that if somehow he finds a little bit of bad boy side, this guy's going to be married before he hits 50.
Yeah, there need to be more dick jokes in there, I think. Yeah. That's a good bad boy quality. But yeah, you're right. Got to have a little bit of the bad boy in you. That helps.
Sounds good, Mark. That's why you have all those dates. And also check out Mark's blog, animusempire.com, and pick up a copy of his book, his ebook, Man's Guide to Shame. I am Dr. Errol Gluck, and remember, to every problem there is a solution. Please check out our other episodes on gluckradio.com. There is something for everyone. Keep listening. Tell your friends, your neighbors, the people who don't like you. Tell everyone. Send in your feedback. Till next time.